Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on here, Aaron? I don't know if I... Okay, hey, let's try that again. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I want to welcome you all here this morning, and just know that your presence here matters. I just want to say this for a second. I'm not on? Do I have it on mute or something? Technical difficulties... It says, hello, hello, hello. Maybe we'll try the old. Oh, my phone isn't here. Do you have me, Aaron, or?
No, you're getting no signal.
Oh, interesting. No, it's not on mute. I'm going to give you guys a minute. Try that. You got me now? Oh, okay.
Got it?
Hey, can we just give the, can we just say thank you to these guys? Like, that was like, thank you guys. Hey, thank you so much. Aaron, thank you. James, thank you guys. Just really appreciate you guys and your help and your service here. All right, let's start over there. Hey, good morning, everybody. All right, hey, I want to welcome you here and just let you know your presence matters. Just a quick thing, Hebrews 10 says that we should not neglect to meet together. And many of us may feel guilt and shame in that, but that's not the reason why he's saying that. He tells us our presence matters because it stirs us up to love and good works. And also after that, it's a sign of just encouragement. And so as we gather here, as we look around in this room, each of us is just an encouragement. Our presence should be an encouragement because as we just saw with Joe this morning, we see the work of God in each other's lives. And so I just want to encourage you with that and just thankful you could be with us this morning. And it's such a joy and privilege to worship our awesome God with you. And so my name is Caleb. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And we're just going to kind of jump right into our passage this morning, Luke 12, 1 through 12. But over the last several weeks, I just want to kind of give some context to this. Jesus has faced the slanderers who called him the devil, the skeptics who doubted Jesus and wanted a sign, the Pharisees who zealously added to the word of God, developing their own traditions to prove their devotion before God, and the lawyers who interpreted and aided the Pharisees in their study and development of their traditions. And Jesus has continually and over again lovingly warned them. Sometimes what could even appear as kind of harsh words, but he's warning them in order to wake them up from their stupor. Because the rejection of him as he is displayed throughout leaves them exposed to spiritual oppression, judgment, darkness. It hinders others in their relationship to God and ultimately is like a grave, a pit of death, and leads to death. And then we look at kind of how they responded. If we just look back for a moment at 11:53 through 54, we see their reaction to this, the Pharisees and scribes. And as he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him, to catch him in something he might say. And what we see here is just outright hostility. And then if we go to 12:1, we see thousands are gathering around Jesus. I mean, they're literally trampling one another. And it's out of control, and what we see is just outright hysteria. And it's in the midst of this hostility and hysteria that verse 12:1 says this, and he began to say to his disciples first. See, Jesus turns in the midst of all of this to address his disciples. And what he's going to say to them is he's going to warn them. He's going to exhort them. He's going to encourage them on how to live in the midst of all this hostility and hysteria of this world. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Look at today, we're going to look at how do we live in the midst of this hostile and really the hysteria of this world. And so we're going to be looking at Luke 12, 1 through 12. Again, that's Luke 12, 1 through 12. Open your Bibles there. We want to look at the Word together. And if you don't have a Bible, just as we said before, go grab a Bible right now. We're going to pray in a minute, but go grab a Bible. Take that home with you. And if you don't have a Bible at home, keep that Bible. We want you to have that. And so before we go any further, would you just pray with me once again? God, I pray that we would rest in the sufficiency of your word. And your word isn't sufficient in the fact that it just fills up, but it gives us more than we could ever need or desire or understand, Lord God. Your word overflows with truth to transform our lives. And that your word in conjunction with your spirit would move in our lives this morning to reveal the idols in our lives, the lies we believe, our hidden secrets, and purge them from our hearts, our minds, our souls. And that, Lord God, we would be encouraged this morning to continue to walk in transformation of the gospel as the word of your truth is proclaimed. And anything that is not from you, Lord God, let that be forgotten. But let those things from you stick into our minds, our hearts, and our souls to transform us and draw us into greater understanding, greater relationship, greater love, and a greater worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke 12, 1 through 12, and we're just going to begin by looking at the rest of verse 1 through 3. And so let me read that once again. And he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." What we see is Jesus doesn't hold back. Jesus says first, right? It says, and he says to his disciples first, and what we see is it's placing a priority on the warning that he is about to give to his disciples. And what he is saying is, beware of the spiritual leaven of hypocrisy. Essentially, don't be a hypocrite. And I think most of us can agree that we don't really like hypocrites. Correct? Am I wrong in assuming that? Because hypocrisy, what Jesus is talking about here, refers to someone who kind of played a part in a theatrical performance. And often they would wear a mask. And Jesus is applying this to the Pharisees. I mean, if we go back to 11:39, Jesus compares them to a cup that's been washed on the outside but not the inside. I mean, that's disgusting. None of us would drink from that. And he's applying this to the Pharisees who outwardly play the part of godliness, displaying it in the ways that they're able to keep the law in their traditions, putting on the facade of good works and devotion. But behind the mask, inwardly, Jesus knows they're far from God. Ultimately, they're graves. They're dead. And they're hypocrites. And he compares their hypocrisy to leaven. And leaven is a yeast, as many of you baking lovers know, that when added to dough, and you don't need a lot, you need just a little bit because it can go a long way, but what happens is as you add it to dough, it grows and works its way throughout the entirety of the dough. And so Jesus is warning or warns of putting an outward appearance of godliness on only to inwardly have our hearts be far from God. Because hypocrisy, like leaven, may start off small, but it will grow. It will grow and can work into every part of our lives. And so if we compromise in just a little area over here, it can easily spread into other areas. And before we know it, it's consumed us. And we're just marked by outright hypocrisy. And I think the idea that we're kind of getting at is, are we here to just play church? Are we here just to play the Christian? To put on the mask of Christ-likeness? Because if this is our posture, I just think there are a lot of better things you could be doing with your lives. A lot more entertaining things you could do with your lives than listening to some guy stand up here and talk about the Word of God. I mean, there's Netflix. You could go play video games. You could go skiing. It's actually above zero today. Whatever. But he's calling it out in our lives. Don't just be outward. Be also inwardly transformed. See, are we here to be Christians, to seek Christ, to worship Him, to grow, to be transformed, to strive for the gospel, to just submit to our great King? You see, let's not play the part, is what Jesus is saying. Don't play the part. Stop with the facade. Because our hypocrisy probably isn't fooling anyone. And if it is, as it says in verses 2 through 3, it will be exposed. And we see Jesus says it four different ways. Four different ways he says, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Is it clear enough? I think that's what Jesus is getting at. Hey, have I made this clear enough? All that stuff you don't want others to know about? All the secret skeletons in your closet, the things that you've tried so hard to cover up and hide from others and even me, they'll be exposed. They'll be known. And often hypocrisy is revealed in this life. And there's several examples I could give, even of Christians or who proclaim to be Christians. But even if we take these things to the grave with us, they will be exposed. Romans 2:16 says this, on that day, the day of judgment, when Jesus returns and all come before him, on that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. You see, it will be revealed. It will be revealed. There's no hiding. And in many ways, it already is, because in the limitless omniscience of God, which is just a fancy way of saying God knows it all. He already knows. He already knows. And for many of us, this may freak us out. You know, it's like the dream of showing up to class and there's a test and you didn't study for the test and you're also in your underwear, right? Like, it freaks us out because many of us right now are being confronted. We know the things I'm talking about right now. They make you cringe at the thought of anyone else knowing it. Maybe even now the embarrassment is rising up a little bit and your cheeks are becoming flush because it fills you with guilt and shame. And you just want to push it back into the recesses of your mind. And you think you can hide it from others or from Jesus. And I think the reason we do this is because we think he will reject us. And I just want to tell you this, stop trying to hide in your hypocrisy. He already knows. He already knows. And look at verse 4 for a second. It says, I tell you, my friends. My friends. This is an endearing relationship, right? Not Facebook friend. More than my homeboy. This is like a David and Jonathan sort of friendship. And if you go back and look at David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 18, these were two men who had a deep friendship. Listen to this description. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. These were friends. These weren't just like close buddies. These were friends. And I doubt many of us have maybe experienced this kind of or level of friendship, souls knit together. And here's the thing, David and Jonathan were fallen men. How much more Jesus when he says, I tell you, my friends. You see, and he says this to his disciples, and he says this to you and I, you are my friends. But you see, I think we hide in our hypocrisy because we think he'll disown us. But I just want to share these words, and it comes from the book Gentle and Lowly, which we gave out in December. Great book. But on page 63, it says this, because we come before God, before Jesus, we say, no, wait. We say cautiously approaching Jesus, you don't understand. You don't understand the secrets of my life. I've really messed up in all kinds of ways. He says, I know. I know, he responds. You know most of it, sure. Certainly more than what others could see, but there's perversity down inside me that is hidden from everyone. I know it all. Well, you don't understand, Jesus. The thing is it isn't just my past, it's my present too. I understand. But I don't know if I can break free from this anytime soon. That's the only kind of person I'm here to help. The burden is heavier and heavier all the time. Then let me carry it. It's too much to bear, not for me. You don't get it. My offenses aren't directed towards others. They're against you. Then I am the one most suited to forgive you. But the more of the ugliness in me you discover, the sooner you'll get fed up with me. And Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast away. My friends, he's heralding us to him, to know the freedom and forgiveness that he offers, that is found only in him. So stop trying to run. Stop trying to hide. He knows already. And what he's calling us to is repent. To repent. And I love what his word says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So abide in his word. And where you are exhorted or warned and you see those things in your life, repent, because it says this, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Stop running and hiding from the truth. We're filthy. We're filthy and we need someone to clean the inside of the cup. The problem is if we know, if it were us, we would probably run from ourselves. Which is what we're doing. We're trying to outrun those things in our lives, and we never will. And we want to avoid them. And we just end up residing in guilt and shame, and Jesus doesn't want that. And Jesus will never cast us out. And he wants us to experience freedom. And here's the thing. The worst of it, he knows. And he wants all of us. Not just part of us. He wants it all. And so hypocrisy leads us to try and hide. But true faithfulness leads us to repent. And I want to assure you again, Jesus won't cast you away, friends. He knows and wants you. And some of you desperately need to hear that today. And so, friends, beware of hypocrisy. Beware of trying to hide in your lies the secrets, the sins of your life. Just come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Because look again at verses 4 through 5. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And I think what Jesus is explaining is here is why do we fall into hypocrisy? Because we fear man over God. We would rather be liked by people than loved by God. Either we don't want to face the hostility of others, right? We want their approval, we want to be liked, or we try to gain approval of others, or even ourselves. And what ends up happening is you just end up riding the roller coaster of culture and the opinion of others. You just keep abdicating to what they think and what they want, which continues to press in our lives as the Pharisees were doing to Jesus. They will continue to press in to make us compromise. Maybe just a little bit here, a little bit there. Before we know it, the leaven of hypocrisy just spreads throughout our lives. And I just want to warn you, because being liked, the fear of man is fleeting. It's fleeting. I mean, Jesus knew that. He experienced that. I mean, the crowds went from worshiping him as he entered Jerusalem at the triumphal entry to later on, within a short period of time, I don't even know if it was a week later, to crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" You see, the public opinion or the approval of others can flip on a dime in a moment. And we see that all over. So why are we living for their opinion? Why are we living for their approval? You see, Jesus knew, and he knew that men are limited. They're limited not only in what they can give us, but they're limited in what they can do to us. Because the absolute worst they can do to us is kill us. You see, Jesus never said he would protect us from physical harm and suffering, even at the hands of others. In fact, he pretty much guarantees that just as he faced hostility and suffering, we should expect the same. And yet we continue to fall into the ways of the world, which tells us we must do everything to protect ourselves and our lives and extend our lives as long as we can. And that's true if this world is all we have. But it's not. Christians, we have something more that God offers us, that Jesus offers us. Because we must consider eternity. Look at verse 5. But I will warn you. I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. See, instead of fearing man, we are to fear God. You see, he has authority and it goes beyond just the physical. Our physical lives. He has authority to cast us into hell. This is eternal damnation. And Jesus is warning us because he doesn't want that for us. And he's going, wake up. No man has that power or authority. Why are you abdicating to them? Why are you living for them? It's just fleeting. Stop it. Because God only has that kind of power and authority. And I think, just to be kind of frank for a moment, the only reason we fear man more is because our understanding of God is lacking, incomplete, or we're just deceived. Because the reality is he has all power and authority. fancy way of saying that is omnipotent. And so we are not to fear man, we are to fear God, because he holds all things in his hands. And our fear of God is different from the fear of man. We fear man because he's evil. And because he can do evil things to us. But we don't fear God because he's evil like some serial killer pursuing us in that dark alley. Or he can hurt us or harm us. We fear him because in the truest sense, he's awesome. He is awesome. It's more than respect, it's reverence. Awesome, like lightning that splits the night and then ensuing thunder that the ground trembles and quakes at. Right? That's a moment where it's awesome because of the immense power that's there. Like the depths of the Grand Canyon. You stand there and it's just like endless, and it's mind-boggling to see, right? The endless expanse of the ocean. Or the innumerable stars in the night sky as you stare up. Awesome because of its immense size. And what do these awesome experiences do to us? How does it make us feel? Weak and small. They're humbling experiences. And I think, how much more our God, who created all of this, who sustains it and holds it all together? He's so much greater. He's so much more powerful. He's so much grander. He's awesome in the truest sense. And it's this understanding, this awe, this reverence, this fear that Proverbs 1:7 tells us. This fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so I think the only way that we fall into fearing man more than God is our knowledge is all messed up. We don't correctly understand the awe and greatness of God. Because it goes on to say, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so do we have the correct understanding of our God? How awesome he is, and do we have a correct posture of humility and submission before him as we stand in awe of him? Or are we fools and hypocrites? Relying on our own understanding and fearing man instead of God. We should fear God, as Jesus says at the end of verse 5. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Fear him. And then look at verses 6 through 7. Because this isn't independent, the fear of God, from this. From his love. Verse 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. You see, running parallel to the fear of God is the love of God, his care for you. The sparrows, the hair on your head. Who cares, right? Like they're these minute, insignificant things, and yet God cares about those. How much more you? How much more you? God, when he created the world, said it was good. And then after he created Adam and Eve, man, he said it's very good. Very good. You're of more worth. You matter to him more than the plants, the trees, the birds, the sky, the fish of the sea, the animals of the land. You're worth so much more. And if you doubt that, if you continue to doubt that, look no further than the cross. We deserve hell because of our sin. We don't like to hear that. But God cares and loves so much, so much. More for you, that he sent his son to die on a cross for you. What more do you need, friends? And so, friends, beware of hypocrisy and the fear of man. It's fleeting. Instead, fear God. He's awesome. And do not fear, because you are worth so much more to Him. And His love and care for you is more awesome than you could ever imagine. And what we see is this friendship, this love of God, this fear of God, right, should encourage us and should lead us into verses 8 through 10. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. And so let's place kind of this passage within the idea of a friendship. If I came to you and I was like, hey, I've got this friend named Brandon. Pretty good looking guy. He's got some salt and pepper going on. He's awesome though. I mean, the guy loves Jesus. Theologically robust. Loves his family. Loves his friends. Loves music and wants to bring glory to God in every way. And it's just a joy to be with him and to be his friend. And you should get to know him. I don't know why you wouldn't want to, right, from that description. Now, what would you think if I just said those things to you, right? What would you think of our relationship? What would you think of him? It's a pretty good friend, right? Pretty amazing guy. And I think how much more Jesus? How much more Jesus? Because you see, hypocrisy is marked by a disconnect between the inward and outward. But a true faithful Christian is not an either or of outward versus inward, but it's a both and. True Christianity is a both and of inward and outward. And what I mean by that is the inward reality of true faith in Christ, what's happening in my heart, is revealed outwardly in my actions and in my words. And we have a core commitment that's kind of around this. It's our last one there with the arrows, which is go. Go show. Show people with our actions, the way that we love them, the things that we do. Go show and tell. Use our words. Use our words. And so we are to go, show, and tell the gospel boldly. And that's what this passage is getting at. You see, but what happens in our hypocrisy is these things. We either inwardly love Jesus, but we don't tell people about it. Or we outwardly try to show ourselves as a true Christian, but inwardly we're far from God. Those things need to come into alignment. Working together. Because Christ wants all of us, the entirety of us, even those deep, dark secrets. And Romans 10, 8 through 10 says this, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, both in inward and outward. That's why we do baptism. It's a confession. This shows that we will be saved, for with one, with the heart one believes and is justified with our heart, and with our mouth one confesses and is saved. It's a both and. And so we are to confess Jesus, to tell others, to make disciples, so they can know this good news. And what's cool, sorry. It's really cool. Maybe I'm not sorry. The Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. Jesus is in heaven going, that's my boy. Right? That's my friend. How encouraging that he is taking joy in us as we take joy in him. And is that not friendship? Taking joy in one another. That's Jesus, and that's our relationship to him. How encouraging. And so take joy, acknowledge him. Because he's acknowledging you. And now look at verse 9. Because this is so defeating. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Place this passage back within the framework of friendship. You and I are hanging out. We're going out. Maybe we're going to a party or something, you know, with a bunch of people. And somebody comes up and asks me, hey, are you with them? And I respond with, who, them? No. That's embarrassing. Why would you ever think I was with them? I don't know them. What would you say about our friendship at that point? How would you feel? And how would you feel about our relationship and what is revealed in that moment? If you had that happen to you, how would you respond to that person? Would you be like, oh yeah, we're still friends, man. You're my best buddy. Or would you question that? You see, we get this within our earthly relationships with each other. But the same is true with Jesus. There needs to be a reciprocation. There needs to be a joy. There needs to be an inward desire and love for him just as much as he desires and loves us. And we're to show the joy that we have in Christ to others. But the crappy thing is we fear men. And this is happening all over in the church and Christians. They deny Jesus. And what he said, oh, Jesus didn't really say that. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus really isn't that. And you know, if we do some interpretive gymnastics with this passage that you really don't like to hear about, it doesn't mean that. Or it means this instead. And we're just ashamed of him. Just ashamed of him. We do it to avoid hostility. Not saying we should be rude or jerks. But we do it to avoid hostility or to gain the approval of others. All at the loss of Christ. Because we would rather be liked than loved. And we wonder why so many are turning from Christ. Why would we expect them to love Jesus if those who profess Jesus as their Savior and Lord don't even love him? Why would we expect them? Why would we expect them to care if we don't care? Why would we expect them to give a rip if we don't give a rip? And again, beware hypocrisy. And this morning, if you're like, this is striking deep. And I'm a hypocrite. Here are all the ways, Lord God, that I have been holding on to these secrets and sins before you, that I've been trying to hide them from you, or I haven't been living for you. Maybe the hypocrisy is just coming before your face and you're just flooded with it. And I'd say repent. And be sure, because look at verse 10. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. You see, Jesus is the Son of Man, which means he's God. And the Son of Man has been given and has all power and authority. And we saw way back in Luke 5:24, the Son of Man uses his power and authority to forgive sins. And that's what he's telling us here. That we can be forgiven. And I just think of the great example of Peter. Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Jesus in John 21 appears to Peter and the disciples after the resurrection, and he says to Peter, "Do you love me?" Or Peter says, "Yes. You know that I love you. Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, you know that I love you. Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, you know that I love you." Two times he tells Peter to feed my sheep, which means to declare his word, to declare him. And at the end of it, he says, "Follow me." So River Church Christian, I want to ask you, do you love him? Do you love him, the friend who will never cast you out? Who'll never push you away or abandon you? River Church Christian, do you love him? The Savior who died on the cross for your sins, taking the punishment you deserved, the wrath you deserved from God on himself so you could be saved and forgiven. River Church Christian, do you love him? The Lord who has all authority and power to forgive you of your hypocrisy, your sin, and care so deeply for you. If you do love Jesus and you find yourself living in hypocrisy, repent. Because the forgiveness from the Son of Man is not automatic, but must be requested. We must believe in his work on the cross, so we must repent, believe that what he did on the cross actually means something, that he was able to forgive our sins. And then he says, "Follow me." Turn from your hypocrisy, which is what repentance means, and follow me. Go in the other direction and follow me. Don't live for your sin in secrets and in the shame and guilt of those things. Follow me and know the freedom. And acknowledge me before men. Because ultimately, Jesus is the best. And they need that same thing. They need the friend. They need the Savior. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we acknowledge him for others so that they can know him and love him. But River Church Christian, beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. Because look at verse 10. "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." Many have blasphemed Jesus and been saved. Peter, Paul. Just some good biblical examples. And so the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit must be something a little bit different or something much more severe. And from other accounts in Matthew and Mark, the understanding of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is attributing his work and witness to Satan. And so it's something more, and what many commentators and Bible scholars go on to say is that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not so much an act of rejection. It's not an act of rejection, as it is the conscious, persistent, and decisive rejection of the Spirit's message and work concerning Jesus. And so it is the conscious, persistent, and decisive rejection that happens over and over and over again as we hear the word of God. As we see his work in others, it's the constant rejection of that. Beware the leaven of hypocrisy, because it can grow and consume the entirety of our lives, leaving us callous towards Jesus, his salvation, his work, his message, the gospel, his salvation, his forgiveness, and leaves us liable to judgment. And so beware the leaven of hypocrisy.
And then look at verses 11 through 12. Jesus shifts here. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. See, Jesus shifts, and the assumption is that his disciples will acknowledge him and proclaim him, and as a result, they'll face hostility. You see, faith in Christ leaves us liable to hostility. But we shouldn't be anxious. I mean, the worst they can do is kill us. And we shouldn't be anxious. Because when we are opposed because of our faith in Jesus, we should be encouraged. We should be encouraged because we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will teach us. Because he resides in us. You see, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. You see, we were never meant to do this alone. He never calls us to rely on our own strength or power. The reality is you can't do it without him. We're powerless to save ourselves, and we're powerless to save anyone else. You see, it says that we plant the seed. We may get to water it, but God grows it. See, we don't grow it. He causes the growth. But what we are to do is to rely on God, and we are to be humble in that. You see, he has to work. He has to work in the lives of others. He has to be the one who saves, because he gets all the glory. What he calls us to be, though, is faithful. We're called to be faithful. Called to be faithful. You see, the pressure is on him to save. We are called to be faithful. And so this gives us freedom to be bold, even in the face of hostility, because he's at work in us. Even in the words that we say that are dumb to other people, he can be at work in. Some of the greatest sermons I've ever thought I've preached, silence. Some of the worst sermons I've ever preached, people are like, hey, good job. That was really insightful. You have no idea how God will work. We're called to be faithful. Because he will work. And even when the pressure is on us, he is there with us to teach us and give us the things that we will need. And he is the one who will have to work through it. And that's what he does. Don't be anxious, but be reassured. God, the Holy Spirit, is with you. He is in you, and he will give you the words like Peter. When he preaches, 3,000 came to know the Lord. Peter, the one who earlier denied Jesus, Holy Spirit was at work in that. Stephen, facing hostility, preaches the gospel, and then he's stoned to death. Paul. Power in the Holy Spirit goes and plants church upon church upon church upon church, fulfilling the Great Commission, which is the reason we're here right now. You think Paul knew that was going to happen? I don't think so. I think Paul was just being faithful, and God worked through that. So be encouraged. Doesn't mean we don't prepare at times. It doesn't mean I walk up here and just like, hey, today, guys, I'm just going to make up a bunch of stuff. But what it does mean is when we face those moments of great hostility, we rely on him. And we're not rude. We're not jerks. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. But it also doesn't mean we withhold. We don't withhold. And so we should be encouraged this morning. I feel like this morning was a roller coaster ride a little bit. But what Jesus is doing is he's drawing a line in the sand. And he's saying, here's your choice. Here are your choices. And this is sobering. Because we can live in the reality of hypocrisy. We can continue to be hypocrites. You have that choice. Just know it will be revealed. Living in the fear of man, denying Jesus, rejecting the work and witness of the Holy Spirit, and being liable to judgment in hell. Don't get mad with me. I'm not the one who said it. It's Jesus. Or we can live in the joy of faith in the triune God. Because that's what we've seen here, living in fear of the God, of God the Father, who cares for us so deeply. Cares for us so deeply. Can live in the acknowledgement of God the Son, Jesus, who is our friend. Never cast us out, never abandon us, who's cheering us on from heaven, taking joy in us. And even when we fail, offers us forgiveness. Just filled with grace. And we can live in dependence on the Holy Spirit who dwells in us as our helper, especially in our hour of greatest need. And yes, faith in Christ leaves us liable to the hostility in the world, but guarantees us an inheritance in heaven with our triune God forever and ever and ever to bask in his joy, his grace, just the lavish inheritance that he wants and pours upon us. And he says all of this to wake us up. Beware the leaven of hypocrisy. Instead, live for Christ, for it's for our joy and his glory. And so the choice is ours. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word, Lord God. I thank you. God, it's just a joy. And God, these at times are very sobering words, but Lord, I pray that they would pull at our heart. They would reveal things to us that we have been trying to hide, and that, Lord God, we would repent and that turn to you because you are so gracious. You're so gracious, and you have so much better for us than living in hypocrisy, living in the fear of man. You have joy, and joy eternal in you, and I pray that we would reside in that. Reside in that, and we thank you, Jesus, for just being our good friend. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.